Let's turn in God's Word to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, and we'll be reading the whole chapter, and we're focusing this evening in the first 7 verses. And yet we'll read the whole chapter, verses 1 through 24. Joshua chapter 2. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord and ask for His blessing upon us. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for Your Word, how You speak to us. What a miracle this is that You, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator and the Sustainer, who sent Your Son, who is upheld by Your Spirit, would speak to us, sinners. And so, Father, as we come humbly before Your throne, we pray that You would give us ears to speak, or ears to hear, as Your Word, as You speak to us through Your Word, that we would not dishonor Your name by not hearing, or by bad hearing, or sinful hearing. But cause us to be receivers of Your Word, that we would believe what we hear, that we would teach it to our children, grandchildren, and that through it You would sanctify us, Your people, and bring joy about in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. These are God's words. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence, when they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. And we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above, and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father, and my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our lives are life for yours, if ye utter not this our business." And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, and thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, and we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, According unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away. And they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned, and the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Those are God's words. You remember at the beginning of Matthew's gospel that we looked at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, and primarily looking at the line of David, because that's the genealogy that we find there. So focusing on Jesus Christ as King. And thus we've already been seeing a focus on His kingdom in Matthew, and this to primarily a Jewish audience that Matthew wrote to. And yet we see so many things that as Matthew writes, stand out to us because they generally would not be accepted by the Jews, even though he was writing to them. And yet it can't be denied that Jesus Christ, as we look at his genealogy there in Matthew 1, descends from certain unrighteous people, but also certain Gentile people. Something so rare in Jesus' genealogy is that 5 women are named, which if we go to the Old Testament genealogies, and we've seen many of those as we've gone through Genesis, we've gone through Chronicles, and places like that, we don't see women named. Rarely is a woman named in a genealogy in the Old Testament. And yet 5 are named in Jesus' genealogy. All 5 women have what we might say are questionable backgrounds. Tamar acted like a prostitute. Ruth was from the pagan Moabites. Bathsheba committed adultery with David. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with child, as we looked at before they were officially married. Rahab is the other woman who is in Jesus' genealogy. Her story is detailed for us here in Joshua 2. In verse 1, we're told Rahab's questionable background, or unrighteous background. The one that stands out to us all is that she's a harlot, first off. That she sold herself to men in breaking the 7th commandment. That stands out to us, so that she broke that 7th commandment often, which is, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's how she made a living. That's how she made a living, with no husband. And the second questionable background aspect of Rahab was that she was a Canaanite. She was not a Jew. And Israel has been commanded to destroy all the Canaanites as they go into the land. Remember, Deuteronomy 20 says, But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. But thou shalt utterly destroy them. Namely, the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Why? Because they were all idolaters and they worshiped false gods and were not of God's chosen people. And those people dwelling in that land were in God's land. This is His land that He set aside for His people, of which He's given that land. He sealed it. He's guaranteed it as an inheritance to His people, Israel. And so Rahab has two strikes against her. And yet what we see in the passage is that she is used mightily for the glory of God and the deliverance of God's people. What we see here also shows us the power of God's saving grace, showing us that no one is beyond God saving them from their sins by His grace. No matter how wicked, God can save them if it be His will. And the fact that we have Christ's genealogy, including the men in it, as well as the women, is a grand demonstration of the Lord bestowing His mercy and grace upon people in the most unexpected ways. Many, even the women, but even the men, wickedness and sin that is declared in God's Word. Beloved, our sin, the greatest, the greatness and wretchedness of our sin cannot stand in the way of God's grace and mercy working to save His people. That's what this chapter is about. As we see, we might say, is one point to harlot's protection this evening. A harlot's protection, she offered protection in a sense to these two men. In verse 1, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Until this point, we didn't know what area of the promised land was going to be conquered first. And they leave, these spies leave from Shittim. That's approximately 12 miles east of the Jordan. And that's where Israel is encamped while they're waiting the few days before they arise and cross over. And so while we remember the last chapter, the words of the Lord brought, calling them to rise up, cross over, and the time that these two spies are in Canaan is 3 days. We see that mentioned twice in the chapter. They're there, or they don't return for 3 days. Because it was on the third day that they rise up then and cross over. They do it immediately. As soon as the spies get back, they rise up and cross over. And they are sent to spy out secretly, these two men, the land of Jericho. It says secretly or silently. And so just as we'd expect, they shouldn't be detected. That's the goal. Notice this isn't like sending out the spies in the past, when in the Pentateuch, to spy out the whole land. This is just spying out Jericho. And it isn't to be a report back to all the people like it was before, but specifically to Joshua. Again, sending them out secretly. This is like a reconnaissance mission for the captain or general of the army to find out information. That's interesting, isn't it? That the Lord has already promised to destroy these Canaanites. He's already told them to cross over, and they're going to do that in 3 days. And so why go and spy out Jericho if this is going to happen? They're going to be destroyed. It's because faith in the promises of God does not neglect the diligent use of His means. When Christians come and have hope in the promises of eternal life, does that mean we forsake the diligent use of His outward and ordinary means of grace and worship? Do we forsake public worship? By no means. We don't do that. Of course not. So a general is going to send a reconnaissance team in and report back. Joshua believes in the Lord. He trusts God's promises to destroy all before Israel. We tempt God if we sit back and do nothing and forsake the ordinary means. And so the two spies, they go and they came to Jericho. They came to Rahab's house. And God's providence, He led them there to a harlot's house, to a woman whose occupation was all about keeping secrets. In verse 2 it says, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.'" Now the people of the city, of course, would recognize foreign people. They look different, they dress different. And if we look down in the chapter, in verse 8 and following, We know that the city was buzzing with fear of Israel, and more particularly the God of Israel. And so they are already on pins and needles in fear, even before the spies come. And so when these men came, and word eventually got to the king, and that message, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." The reporters, whoever they are, to these two Israelites, they report about them. That reporter understands the present danger that they are in because Israel is close and is coming. And with that, the king was able to ascertain where those two men were. They're with the harlot Rahab. Verse 3. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." The king's demand of Rahab is expected. You know, if he finds out and knows where the two spies are, he's going to come and he's going to take them. He's going to probably put them to death, right? But it's striking here for the people of Jericho. They knew the hand of God was before them to attack and destroy them. And yet here is the king still rebelling against the Lord. He's still rebelling against the Lord and he doesn't repent. This is what we heard last Lord's Day with Herod against Jesus Christ. Right? When he was born, Herod sent and destroyed all those children from 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem and all the way to the coast. Right? Rulers are hostile to Christ. And wicked kings refuse to bow down to the King of Kings. Even in the face of ultimate destruction. And he knows it. The great kings of the East, right? We go on to read later on in verse 10. The great kings of the East, Sihon and Og, they had been destroyed. Great kings, destroyed by the God of Israel, Jehovah. And yet here is the king of Jericho, knowing that, not believing he can win against Israel, but just attempting to rid these Israelites out. What this king needed to do was repent before the Lord, but he refused and rather sought after the lives of Jehovah's people. This king resisted Jehovah, and he resisted the people of Jehovah. And what was Rahab's response? That's verse 4. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, that is said to the king or the king's messenger, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." When the spies come into the house of Rahab and she knows that there's danger of them being there, and so before anyone could come and question them, she hid them. Right? She already had them hid. So they're up on the roof already. And she recounts that men came, but now she doesn't know where they are. In reality, she had hid them, but she lies to the king in order to protect the spies of Israel. And verse 5, and then it continues on, and it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate when it was dark, this is Rahab's story to the king, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not, or know not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. Her account to the king is a lie. And she says that these spies left Jericho already, went out of the gate, calls for her king to send his men after them. Meanwhile, they're actually up on the roof, hiding, because she hid them. Verse 6, it says, "But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax which she laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued," that is the men of the king, king's men, "the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate." After the flax on the roof, you remember, or you probably don't remember, the flax on the roof was common then to dry them out so that they could be used for linen thread to make clothes and blankets and things like that. And so that's where they hide. Rahab was protecting the spies of Israel. This is a very important question to ask. Why would she do that? Why would she go against her own city, her own country, her own king? Most people have a love for their own country, their own city where they were born, where they grow up, and the vast majority of life spent there, lived there. There's a care for it. There's a love for it. So then, what could lead someone to do what Rahab did? What could make Rahab, who knows that Israel and these spies of Israel have come up to destroy her country, to destroy her city, to destroy her king and the people that she knows, her neighbors, they come to destroy all of them. How could she go against them? Her own people. In order for these people she doesn't know to save them. It's almost, if you step back from Scripture and just look at the outward appearance, it's almost a detestable act to do this. It's a treasonous act to do this. And so what's happened? We know the testimony of Scripture about Rahab. James 2, it says when he's encouraging us to put on good works, if you believe, if you have faith, then good works will be produced. There will be fruit in your lives. And he uses the example of Rahab. He says in James 2, verse 24, I think, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And we know that we're justified by faith alone, but faith is never alone, as some theologians say. Good works come about. When you're justified by faith alone, works, good works come about. Just as Jesus commanded them, the disciples in John 14, we just read, if you love God, you will keep His commandments. He's saying that here shows the justifying faith of Rahab. What shows her justifying faith is her works, what she did. And this isn't just any person saying these things. This is God's Word, God speaking through James. What Rahab did in hiding the spies and sending them out so that they would survive and get back to Joshua, that was righteous. And of faith. And a faith that set her above the fear of man and the fear of the wrath of the king of Jericho. She did not fear, but believed in Jehovah, the Lord God. Hebrews 11 also attests to Rahab's faith. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She was committing treason by faith and the Lord. Treason against Jericho. She was risking her life, beloved, for people she did not know. And going against her own people she knew her whole life. Beloved, this is the same situation that many Muslims in the Middle East go through. Many in Pakistan, as we know, we've heard accounts of that. Many in China and other places. Everything they've known, everything they're familiar with, their family, their homes, their countries, their rulers, everything that they should pledge their allegiance to, worldly speaking, they forsake for the sake of Jesus Christ. They believe on the only name under heaven to be saved. They have a true faith, and at the risk of losing everything up to and including especially their lives, they're willing to do that for their faith in Jesus and the Lord. And so it was with the Jews who turned to Christ in Jerusalem in the book of Acts. Saul and the Pharisees were persecuting them, murdering them, kicking them out of their homes. There was a mass exodus of Christians coming out, the Christian Jews coming out of Jerusalem, a place they had known all their lives. Their neighbors going against them, reporting them, turning them in, and having even seen some murdered. Stephen himself stoned to death. If Rahab would have responded to these two spies, I've heard of Jehovah, but He's your God and Jehovah is yours, but I won't show you kindness, and her faith would have been dead, and she wouldn't have been justified. And yet this showed forth that she is alive, what she actually did. She is alive. She's exposing herself to great peril, risking her life by her obedient faith. Now why did she do this? You go down to verses 9 through 11. And she shares that which we'll pick up next Lord's Day, Lord willing, as the reason why. But notice as she recounts the works of deliverance by Jehovah and how Israel, as they went through the wilderness, was delivered. Israel was delivered over and over, and how that came into the ears of the people of Jericho. You see, she doesn't, in describing her experience of hearing these things, use the word I. She says over and over, we. Verses 9 through 11, look there. She says we over and over. We, that is we the people of Jericho. You see, the same things that Rahab heard, so did everyone in Jericho here. Rahab believed what she heard, so did everyone else. Notice how she described verse 11. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. They all heard the same things. They all believed the same things. And therefore, they all had their hearts melt because they believed the same things. Their courage left them. They all feared Jehovah and Israel. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. But of all the people in Jericho, heard the same, believed the same, cowered in fear, all the same, one believed and wanted Jehovah as her God. And because of this, there was fruit produced in her life. So she hid these two men to save them. And she committed treason against her own nation for it, for her faith in the Lord. One theologian says, those only are true believers that can find in their hearts to venture for God. And those that by faith take the Lord for their God, take His people for their people, and cast in their lot among them. Those that have God for their refuge and hiding place must testify their gratitude by their readiness to shelter His people when there is occasion. And we should be glad anytime the Lord employs us to show a zealous sincerity of our love to God and services to His church and kingdom that are hazardous or risky, even where we risk our life and lives. And we praise the Lord for such opportunities. We should give thanks to the Lord for such opportunities. And we have to ask the question, what are you willing to do in allegiance to Christ? If in obedience to Jesus and allegiance to Him, and it becomes necessary to rebel against our nation in order to follow the King of Kings, King Jesus, then that we must go against our nation and our own rulers, our own laws. Are you ready to do this? Maybe it means going against your own family, extended family. Maybe it means many things. Are you ready to commit treason against the things of this world, or all for the sake of Jesus Christ, if necessary? And why would we do this, like Rahab did? Because we must never commit treason against the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, lest we perish forever. That we would be found faithful to Him in all things. Now, in those New Testament passages we read in James 2 and Hebrews 11 that interpret for us what Rahab did here was we find a demonstration of her justifying faith. And neither of those passages does it praise her for lying. She most definitely lied. That's without question. But she is held up as an example for receiving the spies and sending them out secretly, and as an example of her faith based on what she heard about Jehovah, and again, in Hebrews, receiving the spies and sending them out secretly. When she responded to the king, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate when it was dark that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. I know not. That's her lie. And yet it's also by it that such deliverance came to them through Rahab and God's providence. When you look at the situation, the king knows they came into her house. That's without question. And so if she tells the truth, she would have betrayed God's servants. Yes, they're in the house, they're upstairs on the roof. she would have betrayed God's servants and thereby betray Christ. God's own people, and they would have been put to death. If she is silent, they're going to come in anyway and find the spies, and she would have betrayed them that way. And to betray God's people is a great sin. You think about that when we consider our love for one another, when someone sins against you or when you sin against them. To betray God's people is a great sin. To not love the bride of Christ, to not sacrifice for Christ's church. And it doesn't appear that she had any other way of concealing them based on the account that we have. There could have been some other explanation, we don't know. Not that we should focus on this. We don't need to. The testimony of Scripture in Hebrews and James says that we shouldn't focus on it, but focus on our faith. But for a summary of this lie and sin she committed, Matthew Henry says, "This case was altogether extraordinary, or extraordinary, and therefore cannot be drawn into a precedent. It can't be an example to us that we follow after. And that may be justified here, which would be by no means lawful in a common case. Rahab knew by what was already done on the other side Jordan that no mercy was to be shown to the Canaanites, and thence inferred that if mercy was not owing them, truth was not. Those that might be destroyed might be deceived. Yet divines generally, or theologians generally, conceived that it was a sin, which however admitted of this extenuation, that being a Canaanite, she was not better taught the evil of lying. But God accepted her faith and pardoned her infirmity." And this, beloved, we must also know God's word, that's not right. It's not godly to do evil that good may come, as Romans teaches us. Rahab was a wicked harlot who sinned against the Lord on multiple occasions, and yet she believed in faith the Lord and His works. And she believed what the Lord says, as the Lord says in Hebrews, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." They had all heard the same message in Jericho. They had all heard what Jehovah had done. They all believed what they heard, and so their hearts melted in fear. And courage left them all. Why? Because of the Lord, And yet one of the most wicked among them, we might say, a prostitute, a harlot, a liar, one looked down upon in common society, she believed unto salvation. And she no longer feared man, no longer was a coward before man, but feared the Lord and risked her life for the bride of Christ. For God's people, she risked her life. There is no one that is beyond the ability and power and grace of the Lord to save them. No one. He saves all who are His, and including women. And that includes Gentiles, and that especially includes sinners that He saves from eternal destruction. Anyone who hears the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that you're a sinner and Christ, the righteous one, came to die for His people on the cross. So He was buried and died and rose from the dead. He, even now, you've heard, He lives to make intercession. He lives as our King, reigning on the throne. Rahab believed unto salvation. You this evening are called to believe unto salvation, but not believe like Jericho, the people of Jericho, in fear and cowardice of man or what Israel might do, but believe in the great God who is Jehovah, whose Son is both Lord and Savior of all who come to Him by faith. Rahab came to the Lord by faith there before the spies, as we'll hear next Lord's Day, and as we read, she believed the Lord and it was accounted unto her as righteousness. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners? You are called to come and believe. Turning from your sin, turning to Jesus Christ, putting off your sin, putting on righteousness shown in good works. And wouldn't you know that this woman, a harlot from Jericho, a Gentile, ended up marrying a man from Judah later, named Salmon. And from that line descended the greatest son of man of all of history, the incarnate God-man, Jesus Christ. Rahab the harlot, privileged to be named and the genealogy of Jesus, her Savior. What privilege it is to believe on Christ. For Rahab was adopted into the family of God, named among the people of God, and she became of Israel by faith. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Faith alone is what is needed, no matter the state of wickedness in your soul and the sin that you have. Faith alone is needed, and true saving faith is never alone, but produces good works in Christ Jesus, for Him our Savior and for the church. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise and we're thankful for Your Word and how You're the God who saves us by Your grace, no matter how wicked we might be. Your grace is all sufficient to save, and save to the uttermost those who come to Christ by faith. Now You save completely and fully unto eternal life and unto glory. And so, Father, we give You all the praise, and Your Son, and by Your Spirit, You deserve all glory. For even of the most wicked, which we could think of ourselves, we are the most wicked. For we know our hearts. And yet, You know the thoughts and intents of our heart much and infinitely more than we ever will. And yet, still by Your grace, You save Your people. May You be given all praise and glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.